Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
The last session is about how to facilitate effective group coaching. Of course, normally we don't do that. We coach individuals, but sometimes you maybe meet a team, and you have a topic that has a meaning to do in a whole group, and you can help as a coach actually to facilitate the discussion, and very often we don't know how to do that. So actually, this tool or outline can help you to lead and facilitate other discussions, maybe in the elders' meeting or in your church. So it's not just for church planting coaching. But I use that, for example, at the beginning when I'm speaking about our roles or about expectations, about the coaching agreement, for example. So you can use it. So you have the basic structure here. I will just briefly summarize it, and then I will try to lead group coaching like that. And if we have time, I would ask one of you to lead another one. So you see the structure. A, normally you just introduce to participants. You explain what is your role. Normally, as a coach, you don't bring solutions. Your role is to pull out the best from the team or from the group, the best that God gave them, or the best ideas. Very often you lead a meetings and half of the people are silent. They will never come with their own, with the gifts and ideas and creativity that they have. So that's your role, and you should be expert on the process. You know how to lead the discussion, how to keep the time frame, how to stay focused, how to prioritize what is important in the discussion, and actually reach the goals that were agreed at the beginning. So you clarify the roles, you can create atmosphere. Then, of course, we will not have time for that. But normally, you can speak, especially if you are meeting for the first time, you can agree on some values. We are honest. We don't speak just to each other, but just with the facilitator, or we are focused. We turn off our mobiles. We are really present. All kinds of values that are relevant for the group. And then there are two possible scenarios. First, you can have a group session that actually has a topic already. For example, there is a specific need that was agreed with the team leader and he communicated it with the team. So we are going to work on one topic that is already agreed. That can happen. Or you can come to a team and say, okay, I'm here, and maybe let's come with ideas or things that can help us move forward as a church planting team. What are the key maybe two key issues that you can help up with, and then you can write them down, and you will see how often they repeat, and you can prioritize in many ways, see which of them are really the top, so how often they are there, or you can ask people to just put their dots to each and just count which of them are the most important. So, and if you clarify the topic, you generated the topic, you clarified it, presented, you decide about the priorities, then you can say, okay, what do we want to have at the end? It's the same as in the coaching session. So let's say we want to clarify what's our discipleship model, how we are going to disciple people. So what do we want to have at the end? And you ask the group, and they can, okay, we need to know what are we going to do with the newcomers, with the new believers, maybe. Or what kind of tools we are using for non-believers, who we want to disciple them even before they come. So what are we going to use? And what are we going to use for more mature believers, how they can grow in Christ? What are the tools? So they bring ideas, and then you can just... say, okay, where we start, which one we go first, and then, uh, but And we will have list of suggestions at the end, you know, for all three groups, for example. So and you agree on the goal of the whole session, yeah, on the goal session, and you have it written here, so everybody can see it and you can go back to it. Use flip chart, the art of taking notes and capturing the ideas that are coming from the group. If someone is silent and they don't respond, just ask them for their ideas. What do you think? You know, it should be something that is a group work. Sometimes you have a topic where you really need to prioritize, you know, in choosing the topics, and some of them have logical order, you know, maybe not in the discipleship, but for example in other cases there are some things that you have to sort out first. So you as a facilitator need to see what should be sorted first, and then you can continue to other things. And of course, you can agree with the group. Okay, does it make sense that we would go like this, or what would you suggest? What would you suggest? What should we do first and second? You know, what we need to know. Very often, you need the time frame, because some topics are just too big to solve in a time that you have. So if you have 1 hour meeting, it's good just to look at it and say, okay, maybe we have six areas how to do the discipleship in our church plant, and we have 1 hour, and we just let's do just three because we can't do more. And agree on it and say, okay, we have 20 minutes for this, 20 minutes for this, and 20 minutes for this. And try to keep with the time frame. And stay focused. Because very often, I don't know how much church meetings you attend, but very very often they are hopeless. or you are ineffective, you are not reaching the goals, and you are not moving into what you actually need to work on. Very often, you as a facilitator or a coach, you don't know what's the best way how to talk about it. And so you can ask the group, you know, what's the best way how to address it? How would you speak about it? Yeah, because there is a wisdom in the body, there is a wisdom in the group, and they can suggest their own solutions. And if it's agreed by the group, let's use it. So very often that helps. Then, of course, through questions, through structuring results, you should formulate some smart goals. So everybody should, at the end, know who is going to do what and when. And it should be agreed by the people. So they should themselves summarize, okay, what is your goal? Because when they say it, you know that they understand and that they accepted it. So I suggest that. So you should be able then to summarize the achieved results, let them agree and confirm, let them individually describe how they understand the results. You can agree on the action plan with defined goals, and maybe you can also set how are you going to measure the success, for example. And at the end, it's good to actually evaluate the process. Was it helpful? Could we improve for the next time how we work together? What could have been done better? And then normally it's also good to have a final round of at the end you come back to the expectations. This was what we wanted to have at the beginning. Okay, have we fulfilled what we wanted, or have then? Very often there was something important for them in the meeting, you know, some ideas or something some other people said. And so you can ask them, okay, what was important for you in the meeting? You know, what was beneficial for you personally? So that's generally the outline. Any questions? Yes?
In this final round, would it be appropriate to ask, just to make sure we're all on the same page, to just repeat what the decisions that we made in the meeting?
You do it before. Yeah, you do it before. Right. You as a coach, you can summarize the results, agreed. But you can ask individual people to summarize what their assignments are, and goals that are related to them. So do you understand that? Can you say what is it? So the summary of results comes before you. Then come back to the main expectations, and you can just tick if they were fulfilled or achieved. But then I think it's good also to have a round, asking people, okay, what was important for you? And sometimes it was just, I'm really glad that we work on that. I had these questions before, and I'm really glad how we could work together. And I liked his idea. Or sometimes, they can say anything. I'm concerned about something more or something else that just came to my mind. So they can have a time to reflect and to evaluate, not the process, you can do it before, but evaluate what was important for them personally, what they take from the meeting. Okay, so, and of course, you as a coach, you should be careful not to introduce your own solutions. But if they ask you, what would you think? It's absolutely okay to bring your or by questions. You should help them by questions to clarify what are the best solutions for them. But sometimes it's absolutely okay at the end to say, okay, I would suggest looking at that, or just again you can switch the roles to a mentoring role, and so that's it. Okay. Any questions?
How do you do this and kind of manage all of these roles when you're kind of coaching your own team?
Okay. I think you can do that. You can do that and be part of the discussion. So if you agree on that, okay, this I'm part of the decision making. So I will bring my own also priorities, so I can say, okay, this is also my priority. But you listen and you agree in the group what are the priorities. You don't decide as a leader of the discussion what's the best. So it should be collaborative work, and that's key. And I think it's actually good in every setting. Of course, sometimes you as a leader, you see that there is a need that, for example, we need to sort out how are we reaching non-believers. What's our mission or culture in our so you decide about the big topic, for example, and you ask them, okay, let's work together about that. But very often, because you are dominant leaders, you tend to just overrule or like just don't listen to others. And actually, you need others to bring their own, to bring their ideas and solution, because they don't feel valued, they feel appreciated, and it's actually a teamwork, not just your decision. So I think it's possible. You just need to be aware of that you be careful not to lead the group just in a directive way.
So even if at the end, if they do ask you, what would you do? If they ask us, what would you do? Is it better to try to lead them with open-ended questions? Like, what would you say would happen if, and then maybe you're...
You mean if I'm a coach or if I'm a team leader?
If I am a coach, they're asking me at the end, because they don't know how to go on, how to proceed, and they ask to the coach, what would you do? Is it better, instead of giving them straight answer, just to try to lead them there? Maybe I'm thinking open.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely okay if they ask you, and if you switch then to the mentoring role, and after a hard work of getting the best solutions from them, what they think, then you can say, okay, generally, I would suggest, in your model, that you have, I see these dangers, or these are the options and opportunities, but it's completely up to you to decide what's the best for you. Just don't take the ownership of the decision. If you take the ownership of the decision, they will complain when it fails, and they will come to you and complain. And actually, they will never be motivated to do it. If they didn't create it, they very often are not motivated to do it. So be careful not to be just kind of Deus ex machina, everything. And sometimes, maybe that hasn't been mentioned here, sometimes it's good to let them make mistakes. and not to impose your solutions on them. Sometimes there are some lethal mistakes that you should avoid, but some mistakes are not lethal. Okay, any questions? Okay, so that was quick. So let's see. I was thinking about a topic that we could do together and have a meaningful kind of a group session about it. So let's pretend that we are a church planting team, and we have a mother church. But the mother church doesn't have a clue how to be a mother church, because they are the first generation mother church, and they are glad that you are doing it. They are supportive. The elders are supportive, but they have no clue how to be a healthy mother church. So our task of our group now is, or something that I bring as a topic, is to define what we expect from a mother church. You know, what the healthy mother church could look like, what we expect from them, and what we need to have a good relationship with them. So the topic is how to define it.
Healthy mother church.
Healthy mother church, or clarity in healthy, in having healthy mother church. Yeah. Mother church. Of course, it's, you know, it's not a real situation right now, but okay. So I'm coming as a coach. I'm not a team leader. So my role is mainly to help you through questions and through structured facilitation to come with priorities and solutions. So we have. The topic already. So, what does it mean for you? What do you hear if I say something like that? What? Okay.
Just and maybe I'm just a real simple thinker, but if you could help us as we're walking through this outline to just tell us, okay, now we're moving into this.
Okay.
So just help us to kind of walk through this.
Okay. Normally, normally I would introduce myself or have introduction if it's the first thing. I skip that. I would clarify the role, maybe create some atmosphere. You know, we don't have time for that. We could agree on the values. So be present. Turn off your phones or whatever. Be honest. Don't criticize other for, you know, as in brainstorming. You know, every solution is a good suggestion. So whatever. And then we have the topic. Normally, we could generate the topic, as I said. But now we have a topic that is set from someone else, or from the team leader, or from a mother church, maybe. But that's just an example. So, what do you think we could have at the end of the session? What could be a successful outcome of our meeting?
A kind of. Can we express?
Yes, sure. Yeah, that's
a kind of model, like, you know, church, kind of church. The mother church would become like a place where we can report and gain support, as well as encourage this church, like the church model.
I don't understand well. Can you repeat the model of the mother church? How to report to them?
Be like, you know, a place where we as a team we can. Welcome to report about our work.
Okay,
and
so okay.
As well as energize the mother church.
Okay, so to okay, so okay, so to have some list of suggestions for of support, yeah. Maybe how to report to them. Anything else? What other thing?
Well, you can realistically expect the mother church to do for us. So
Expectations. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Qualification of expectation. Mm-hmm. And your mistakes are not qualified.
Yeah, so. Qualify expectations that we have, or that that are normal.
Clarify
expectations. Clarify communication. Okay. Anything else? What?
Discuss what it means to be healthy.
Healthy Mother Church. Okay. Yeah, okay.
If we're the church planting team, why are we deciding what the mother church should do? It feels like we're setting goals that aren't ours to own.
I said that we have a mother church that is interested, and we need to clarify that. Ooh. So that's just the setting. But what was your question? That why we should clarify what others should do?
That was the question. It seems like we're making suggestions for what the mother church should do, and if we're the church planting team, that doesn't seem like that's our role.
Okay. So what do you suggest?
Well, are we clarifying the mother church's role or the daughter church's role?
I think we are clarifying the relationship, the healthy relationship between mother church and the daughter church, and what we can expect. We can't decide about the mother church what they will do, but we can work on the relationship. It's just an example, of course.
We can set the expectations and then create a dialogue, a space for a dialogue.
So, having a healthy,
they have no idea what they're
maybe a let's say a relationship. Okay.
Should we invite them in, maybe to the process?
That's what I was confused too. So this is not the church we came out of.
It is.
Plant a new church. It's just another church that is
It is a church that we came from. Yeah, we planted, but the role is not clarified. The relationship is not clarified. They are interested to support us, but they have no clue. That's why I said at the beginning was the situation. Just example.
Pretty much whatever the problem is, we might think it's not a problem for us. But it's a problem with the group.
I could have explained more. Maybe it's a mother church that wanted to. So let's say, okay, but that's a fair command. We can't decide about others, but let's work on the relationship, how we clarify having a good relationship, healthy relationship with our mother church, and use it for the best kind of a benefit of our church, of our daughter church.
Yeah, I think in Poland we have launched multiple mother church scenarios, and there's the old saying, you have not because you ask not. Mm-hmm. And so they get launched not knowing whether there's a relationship.
Okay, but let's pretend that we are a team.
Like, I would say, for me, what's important for if our mature plan being launched, I want to know what is it that we need from the mother church.
Concrete asks.
Exactly. What do we need?
What we need from them.
Under the type of relationship, and what do they need from us?
Okay. Need from them. They need from us.
Yes.
Maybe not just need, but also what expectation do they have? I don't know who's the church planter. How much of his time are they expecting that we should use in the mother church? Uh-huh. In relationship building or something?
Yeah. Yeah, of course, it's example. Yeah, we don't know the mother church in such detail. Okay, let's say it's an ideal of willing mother church, but just not knowing what big size, good elders sending us, blessing us. Okay, anything else that's important maybe to have at the end?
Mother church is raising up some money, we have to show off in the mother church somehow to let them see what is the fruit.
Okay, so it's accountability or money issue? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Money issue. Accountability.
This is so very
successful, what is happening with the Mother Church?
Okay, so what do you mean by what is happening in the Mother Church?
Yeah, I mean, maybe the situation is that there are fewer and fewer people in the Mother Church and more in the church planting.
Okay, what do you think? What the rest of the group thinks about that? Should we work on that? Let's write it down. What happens to Mother Church?
It might be something where we have, at the end, we have a regular planned communication time with the Mother Church. So they have a chance to talk with us, we have a meeting, and then those sort of topics could come up.
Okay, so plan of meetings, maybe with... Mm-hmm. Okay. So, okay, maybe that's any other great idea. So now we are in a phase where you have to prioritize and somehow group the topics that are similar. So what topics are repeating?
Communications, report.
Communication. Yes, so let's say it's important to use colors then. Sorry, yeah. Let's say there is accountability, reporting, and communication that goes together.
And the plan of meetings.
And plan of meetings could be part of that. Could be part of that. So there is one group of. Then, what else? Expectations, realistic expectations. This is kind of expectations from us and from them. What we need. So I think that's very similar. What they need from us.
And that defines what we consider healthy. What are the expectations? I think it has what.
Yeah, that's a quality, but I think we will work on what we think is healthy, actually, what we try to define it from outside. How the church... I don't have enough colors. What to do with the Mother Church if they are not growing. Support could be... maybe it goes with the money. And it's a special type of expectations maybe, but should we make it a separate point?
I had another one that maybe I'm having a hard time because of the denomination I come from. Who do we relate to? I mean, are we going to talk to the whole church? Is there a key spokesperson? Is it the eldership? Is it the leadership of the church?
Okay, so plan of the meetings part of the communication. So who is the contact person? Yeah, but let's say that it's elders and a pastor, and maybe a coach from the Mother Church. So, of course, that's
some kind of a timeline. Be part of one of those. Like, what happens with the Mother Church? But at the same time, what happens to the church plan? Time frame.
Yeah, but this is more about the relationship between the two, not about the church fund itself, the topic. But what do you mean by that?
The relationship is changing. It will be changing.
Okay, we should have at the end. We should have a time kind of timeline. Maybe in financial support, for example, or how the decreases or whatever timeline of partnership, or what do you mean by?
What happens with the Mother Church? When more people are in church, then the church plans the money to the Mother Church, doesn't it?
That's a good thing. We can plant more churches. So. Okay. So where we start? What's the priority? Where we should start?
Something.
Yes.
There are things that are not certain.
Yeah, means health. What does it mean to be healthy?
Yeah,
I think we are working on that. Let's try to cover it. What else? Okay. Expectations are here and here, and others. I think the timeline is black, probably. It's communication, or it's a separate thing, probably. It's and we should that should be the main outcome to have some timeline. But that's we don't know the details of what's the support, so it's difficult. Okay, so where should we start? What should be the first, second, third? So we have expectations, what we need from them, and what they need from us. Communication, accountability, money, plan of meetings. So maybe expectations, or what do you think? And normally I would ask you to I don't know, to put your preferences.
Yeah, I don't know if it's anywhere on there.
Is there a logical framework?
To clarify the relationship and the whole process, I would probably want to see a picture, the model.
Yeah sure.
How it will look like.
Yeah.
And then the expectations kind of come up from that, or the other way around. If we are able to define our expectations, that will point us to one of the models.
Okay.
Take,
let's say we are in a normal urban church with a church in the same city. It's a big church, our mother church. We have a team of maybe 20, 25 people, and they support us financially, let's say. Okay. And they are willing to meet us and coach us, support us. But maybe they have no experience. So what? Expectations, communication.
It seems to me that all of the others are subcategories of expectations.
Yes, sure.
What are the expectations about communication? What are the expectations about money? What are the expectations for meetings? So each of those are actually subcategories.
Yeah, you are right.
Clarifying expectations.
You are right. So. Okay. Yeah. Great. So where do we start? Then expectations. Yeah, you are right. Absolutely right.
Expectations of number one, communication.
So communication, report and reporting, money,
finances,
responsibility,
realistic, what else?
Their
plan of the meetings, maybe timeline.
Timeline.
Yeah, that's maybe together. So, okay. So probably communication. What? It's in there. What we expect from our mother church? How we should communicate? What we expect in the area of communication? What do you think should be a good?
Does the mother church knows that we have this meeting and that we are wondering about this meeting?
No, they don't know. They don't know, but we know that we would like to have a healthy relationship with them.
Okay.
So what would be the healthy communication with them?
Goals? What are our goals for planning a church?
Okay.
Do they have goals related to the church?
Goals, clarification from our side and from their side. Goals. So what would that mean? So how are we going to
do they have a goal for when we should actually launch? Do they have a goal for where we should be? Do they have a goal for how many people?
Okay. Clarity of our goals and kind of a time schedule that we have, and we should agree on that. We should agree on that, especially if they are financially involved in that. So how are we going to do to achieve that? Probably we have that. Let's say that we have that already, that we have good church plan, so we know. So what could be the solution? We should communicate it probably and somehow what's the best way with the others to meet them. So let's say
email update.
I think we need to see the elders regularly.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay.
Like for a year or half a year.
Elders regularly, every 6 months? Do we agree? How often?
some sort of written form.
Written,
more
so
often
yeah.
Than a face-to-face.
Okay, so we will present the written, written goals. Goals and presented to elders with main pastor, yeah, okay, and there was a suggestion that we should meet with elders physically, you know, in person. How often do you think it's a good church? They trust us, but what do you think is?
Once every 3 months.
Yeah, is it realistic?
We are doing that 3 or 4 times a year.
Okay.
I think since we're going to be having our 6-month goals, that would be a good time frame to be working on 6 months and then doing a presentation of how those 6 months goals are coming.
So every 6 months?
2 or 3 times a year.
Yeah.
Let's say in the beginning and the end of our ministry season. So in September, as we kind of present our goals, mm-hmm. and then we review them in May, for instance, or June. In the summer to redefine and do it again.
So May, review them in May? And
or June. Because I guess I consider May part of the ministry season still.
Yeah.
So September, June.
Yeah.
Okay, so September and June. Okay, with a yeah. Okay, yeah. Anything else in communication?
Yeah, could I ask, is it possible that we maybe just once a year have this big meeting and then every quarter have, 21 people?
Yeah, that's of course. Who is going to meet them?
Should we select some people to do that? Because,
yeah. Okay.
Core team.
So who? The core team? Maybe the core. Yeah. Let's say that we have a core team of 3 leaders. Okay. So let's say that these will be with a larger group or with just the core group. So the core group. Group with elders.
How many elders you have? You have a bigger group than the elders than the teachers.
Okay, so it's all that. Anything? Any other communication that we think would be helpful with the Mother Church?
We have one representative from Mother Church.
Okay, so contact person. Contact person. Do we think?
Daughter Church.
In Mother Church, do we? Yeah, I would normally ask about. Do you know about anybody, you know, in the Mother Church that we, or is it an elder maybe that has her faith or supports us or something like that? So we could clarify who is also we would like to ask, for example. Anything else that could help to keep the communication?
I think the big
update?
Theme, the whole theme of how should we call them, the 20 people, whatever, the whole startup. Team
yeah.
should make a presentation to the whole Mother Church at least once a year, I think, or 2 times a year. How they're doing, what's going on, testimonies, stories.
Okay, what do you think about it?
It's really depending on how the Mother Church runs their ministries.
Yeah.
When you're talking to the whole church?
Yeah.
Like Sunday morning?
Yeah, like Sunday morning prayer meeting.
Because I think that it'll encourage the church to continue to plant more churches.
Okay. Okay. So once a year, we would present at least once a year or more.
Yeah, I would do at least 2, probably.
At least 2, but we have to agree on it. Yeah. You know, we have a lot of things to do, not just please our Mother Church. No, sorry.
Well, if we're only meeting with the leadership group every 6 months, it doesn't seem like they want us presenting without being informed of what we're actually doing.
Yeah.
So you
once a year.
So I think once a year. Or maybe twice a year.
So who is in favor? Who is in favor of once a year?
I'd go once a year.
Yeah, twice a year. Okay, that's once a year.
Maybe the first year.
The first year, maybe twice, yeah.
Just a question. Maybe it's too, you know, if we just meet them in these times, what about the rest of the church? How we could keep them informed? I think they will not know apart from this. Maybe we could have that somewhere in between that the flow. But there is not a constant flow of information. Do we need it at all?
Well, I think there's going to be connections where we may be asking them for help.
Okay.
So there's going to be certain groups of people that we're going to have constant communication with from the Mother Church. And so those are the groups of people that are going to be constantly in contact, and then there's going to be a wider group of people who will know a little bit more.
Yeah.
The once a year.
Okay. Any other means of communication or communicating with them?
Newsletter? Or is that the...
Newsletter? What do you think about it? Should we inform them in this way, or at least write something short?
Newsletter, or even at the time of email, short emails when we have special needs.
Uh-huh. Short emails, do we?
Also, we can intensify the connections with a praying group there.
Short emails, maybe a prayer group, yes.
Place in the main church.
Yeah, maybe we don't have to produce our own newsletter, just ask, we can write something for them. So, short emails plus,
website.
Yeah, in newsletter.
Website.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we have website, so we can refer them to that. Good. Is that all for communication? Can we move on? Yeah? Okay, so what's next? If reporting and connected with money, probably.
But should we also say something about the church planter and the connection to the staff in the mother church?
Yeah. Let's say that the church planter is formerly employee of the mother church, of the mother church, so his salary goes through the mother church. Right now, maybe it will change. Or at least at least part of the salary goes through the mother church. So I think we have the plan of the meetings, at least with the elders and with the church. Now, what kind of reporting would be appropriate? And maybe there's something else. Maybe first, is there anything else besides communication that we want from the church or that we would like to have from the mother church? So other expectations before reporting, maybe reporting is a more technical thing.
It's very dependent.
What we want from them, ask from them. Ask.
Is the theme is already set and ready?
It's set and ready. It's set and ready. We already have 25 people working.
If we were to take Deet's model of there being a team, and then asking other churches around them for help for child, for food, you know, those might be the things that we might want to ask the mother church.
Okay, so we want some people who would volunteer with us, for example. It's just example. Okay, so, sorry?
Just for the starter services. Like
yeah, start a team, mm-hmm. Volunteers. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Volunteers.
Hospitality.
Uh-huh. Anything else we would like from them? They provide money, so they support. Maybe we haven't clarified clearly. Yeah, they promise that they will pay half a salary for the next 3 years, for example. Is it okay, or do we want any change? Or of course we would plan on how to raise more money, but let's skip the money issue here. What else we could want from them?
To share resources in terms of where the daughter church is weak, in terms of, I don't know, in the youth ministry, to have common ground for both.
Okay, let's write it down. Use their capacity, or maybe work together where it makes sense. Together in ministries like youth, for example, weekend activities, whatever. Okay, anything else?
Yeah, they produce some small group materials that I
okay.
Can borrow from them, or
yeah, let's suppose that we were in this church before we know the materials, but okay. I think we also wanted a prayer group or prayers. So we have a prayer group in our mother church, so we should communicate with them as well. So prayers. Anything else?
We want some encouragement. Do we want?
Okay, how are we going to get it?
What would that look like? Would people take, or the prayer group going to take interest? Are there people, or a coach? Are we going to ask them for coaching?
coaching.
Sort of,
yeah, let's say that we have a coach already from there. So,
perhaps it's together in Venezuela. Invite some with speakers from the mother church, because the speakers are most of the time the elders, so
okay.
We have contact with the leading figures.
Okay, you can have speakers. Okay, let's move on. You know, I think we could do that forever. So in this way, you would cover all the areas, and actually, for every area, you would then make it with the SMART goals. So okay, why when what? So you should elaborate on this. So start a team volunteers. Which volunteers we need? So we can summarize what volunteers we want. By what date we will ask the mother church to whom we are going to communicate, who will be responsible from the team about it, and you can do it for everything. So let's agree on where we want to do it together. Where it makes sense, and then summarize them, and you can do the same. So you will have the SMART goals for every area. So you would have it for communication. Then for reporting, okay, what's the way, how are we going to report? I don't know, it may be working reports, to the head of the staff or to the senior pastor, working hours, what we have done with the money, accountability with the money, how is it used, how the administration, all kinds of things. So now actually the role of facilitator is to secure that everything has the SMART goals, with the time frame, and then that we have a people in the team who are responsible to do it. And if there are nobody who would like to do it, then it's up to leader. No. We have to decide if we really want it. If we don't want it, then that's it. So then I would just summarize it, ask you to repeat what were your assignments from the meeting, and now we can do a closing evaluation. What was helpful for you? What do you take from the discussion? If you can say what do you? Yeah, just it's a real question. Try let's try that. What was there anything important for you in this debate?
I felt lost.
Lost, okay.
Maybe it's because the experience I come from, in our denomination, when a mother church sends out a church planting team, they appoint one of the elders who is in charge of following on the starting process. So we have only one spokesperson from the church that we connect to, and he's the one that goes into the elders and leaders meeting and refers everything back. So it's fascinating to me to see all the dynamics, which is more organic, I think. It involves a lot of people, both on the church planting team and on the mother church, but that's a problem that you can grow into and aim at.
Okay, it was just ideal situation. Normally, you would know what's the mother church, what's realistic to expect from them. So, of course, you can. This was just an example. Normally, I would ask, and you would give good feedback to the whole discussion and to. So, any questions about what I did, or how? You can use it for whatever. Of course, I would structure it more, I think it's good to have flip chart with you. That's just people see it in front of them. You can write names. Okay, Nate is doing this by that and that date. And you have notes immediately. You can take a picture of it and then write it down, send it to your team as agreed. And of course you look on your watches just to see if you are on time or any other. And it's important to actually have the agreement of the group. If you, because very quickly you can say, okay, as I don't know, someone said, two times a year. Yeah, two times a year. Ben. And of course, it sounds, maybe it's better to have two times a year. But you need agreement of the whole group and decide somehow, and then accept the decision. because it's a time commitment. It's actually quite a lot of time that we would have to spend on that. And so especially if you are making such a big decisions, you need to have. And so it's actually much better to win agreement from the group for everything, everything. And it can be quite easy. And then for every part of our discussion, so let's say we had three parts, I would have that SMART goals defined before I go to another part. This we should take notes in a way that on the flip chart that you can. Of course, but you can if you just take a picture of that, you will remember it, or you can ask someone to take the minutes. But of course, it's very, you know, organic conversation. A lot of ideas. So you need actually just the SMART goals at the end. You know, SMART goals and who is going to do what by and when. And you can capture the key ideas because sometimes they are really important. And at the end, you just say, okay, have we achieved what we wanted? So you just go through it and pick what we have done or not yet done. So maybe we haven't clarified the reports and we can decide, okay, let's do it next time, or we just didn't have time for that, or maybe someone from the team can suggest what to do. And it's just an example. I think the coaching principles behind that are working with their solutions, not your solutions. You can facilitate it in this way. You can, of course, you know, let them choose the goal. It doesn't have to be set from the beginning, so they can decide what's the most important. And then you can work on that and help to facilitate the debate or discussion. And then at the end, of course, I can say maybe you should consider this, or is it really realistic, or you know. So,
what you have a name, you have a date. What if it doesn't happen?
I think if it doesn't happen, you have to confront the person. I think we agreed it on the team. You have to review at the next session what has been done, what hasn't been done of the team. So if normally you have a regular meetings of your team and you have the minutes, you come back to them and just ask, okay, what has been done and what hasn't been done and why. And you can reschedule it, make a new date. And if the person just doesn't do that, you have to talk to them personally about it. You know, it's just like in any other job. You know, that's of course they are volunteers, and that's the problem in church. But I think, you know, maybe you should speak to the people. Okay, just say yes to the things that you really can do, because it's important. Sometimes people say, okay, I will do it, and they will never do it. But it's just a matter of culture that you are creating in a team. And you have to do it first, and then the rest will follow. So I think you have the outline there. You can, you know, once you started using it, it will get under your skin, and you can use it more naturally. Of course, you don't always clarify the rules, or you know. So once you settled it in the group, you can refer to it. So that's it. Thank you all. You were a wonderful group. Thank you. It was wonderful to be with you.
Thank you very much.